You're about to experience the joys of extemporaneous preaching.
Amen, brother.
Show us how it's done.
I might have to.
He said tag team.
Tag team. Well, that's if I run out of something to say. All right, well, here we go, everybody. What's that?
Freestyle.
You can check in the car. I don't think it's in the car, though. Yeah, it's locked. You'll need the key. It's in the security office. Well, we have the Bible. Amen. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit of God. I don't have an outline, but I do have God's call yet.
Amen.
Right, Lord?
Amen.
So let's read, and then we'll get into it, shall we?
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4. Read with me the last three verses of Hebrews 4. Look there, verse number... What? Where exactly is Hebrews chapter 4 at? It's right after chapter 3 and right before chapter 5. Hebrews is near the back of the Bible. If you go to the back and then hang a left, you can pass Revelation, Jude, and 1 John. Okay, James. In your pew Bible, it's page 192. Thank you, Miss Susie. So read with me verse 14 through the end of the chapter. A little more than we normally read together, but I'm trying to buy time because my outline is gone. Okay? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. O God, our help, help us now. Help me, Lord. I pray that you would help the folks to receive what is needful for them. And Lord, do the same for me. Give us a vision of our high priest, our great high priest, our compassionate high priest, Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. For him we give you the praise and the glory and all that he's done for us, that we can swim in this deep ocean of your love and mercy. Because Christ has made the way. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. In our journey through the epistle to the Hebrews, we've learned that Jesus is better.
Yeah. Mo better.
He is mo better. He is better than anything. And he's better than anything that has ever come and that ever will come. And there has been a temptation which the first century Christians have been fighting, and that temptation is the calling back to the Old Testament ways, to go back to the Levitical means of worship, to see again the temple as the place where God meets with his people. And the apostle here is writing to remind them that they should not go back. But there's nothing there any longer. That, in fact, they need to, if I may, burn the boats. In fact, God will do that very thing in the year AD 70. The temple will be burned to the ground, and there will no longer be a Levitical system anymore. Why would you want to go back to that when it has an expiration date? But Jesus is eternal. His church is eternal. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, Jesus promised. And he tells them that they have a high priest, a better high priest than the one that sits in Jerusalem. We have one that sits in the New Jerusalem. Amen.
Yeah.
And we have not a high priest that has an expiration date either. The high priest is a high priest until he expires. And then after he's dead, he's no longer the high priest. But our high priest is a high priest forever. Not only today, but throughout all eternity. And we have a high priest that understands. And because of this understanding, we have some privileges. I want to talk firstly about our compassionate high priest. Our compassionate high priest. Notice what the apostle writes there in verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And here this high priest of ours, the apostle describes as having passed into the heavens. And here is an allusion to the Old Testament high priest who would pass behind the veil that separated the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple or the tabernacle, the holy place. And he would go behind that veil, and there would be seen the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, if I may, the throne of God, the representation of God's presence amongst the Hebrews. And there the high priest would go, and he would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice made for the atonement of the nation of God. He would sprinkle that on that Ark of the Covenant for the people. Now we have a high priest who's done the same thing. He has passed through the heavens, if I may. This veil, is it not, that separates us from God. We cannot go to God. We are inhibited by this earthly life of ours, this fleshly body. You and I cannot rise up into the heavens and pass beyond these heavens and find God. Where is he? He's further than you and I can go. Famously, one of the cosmonauts who was first to go into space, he was there orbiting the planet, and he said, in his atheist conviction, there is no God up here. He is there. He was all around. He didn't see him, though, did he? He didn't have eyes to see, and he didn't have ears to hear. But may I say to those who share such a sentiment, you got to keep going. He's beyond. The throne of God is beyond the reach of any spaceship, satellite, or whatever humans can concoct to bring them from here and there. But Jesus has ascended, has he not? Amen. He's gone past the heavens, past the firmament. He has found himself into the Holy of Holies. And there not only did he walk in with fear and trepidation, he didn't need that. He comes received and welcomed by God himself. There he is. And there he lives.
The wonders of modern technology.
You can hear. Apparently, Pastor Joe left his sermon outline in his office, in his study. So let me start over.
We were doing fine.
Yeah, we're like halfway through the first point. Pastor Joe, let's keep going. There Jesus is, passed into the heavens. That is, he has gone through that veil that separates between me and you and God. I'm trying to zoom in on a picture of my outline. As helpful as these things are, there's a measure of frustration that comes with them. Yeah.
Just go back to what you were doing.
Yeah. Here. I don't need it. I'll be all right. It's more of a distraction now. But I thank you, and thank you, dear. Thank you for that. That was the right thing to do. But now we got ahead of steam. Let's keep going, shall we? This high priest of ours is not only in the heavenlies, folks. He's there because he is our intercessor. That is, he pleads on your behalf and on my behalf. I need someone to plead on my behalf. I need someone to take my case before the judge of the universe. I need someone who understands me, and not just understands me, but understands what I don't understand. And that's the Savior Jesus Christ. It's not that he can't be touched. He can be, because he has been in our shoes. He identifies with our infirmities. He identifies with our struggles and our sins. And in fact, C.S. Lewis said this, and I'm going to paraphrase, but C.S. Lewis said, there is this myth in thinking today that people who are righteous do not understand sin. He said nothing is further from the truth, but people who are righteous understand sin better than those who are wicked understand sin. And nobody understands sin like Jesus Christ. And it's not because he sinned, it's because he resisted temptation to the extreme. You and I always cave, don't we? Not always, but we often cave. You and I have never experienced the full weight and strength of temptation. You and I have not striven against sin to the shedding of blood. Now, every now and then, yes, God gives us grace, doesn't he? But we always tend to fail again. But Jesus Christ, every time he was tempted, are you listening to this? Every time he was tempted, he never caved in.
No.
And that heat was turned up.
He never even.
The pressure was increased. The sharpness of temptation grew more and more severe, but he never, ever caved in. He has experienced temptation in a way that you and I will never understand.
Yeah.
He has experienced the full strength and the full power of temptation in a degree that you and I could only dream about. He lived that way. And you think he doesn't understand you? Oh, he understands. He understands the weight of your guilt because he bore it himself. He understands the desperation of your sin because he has conquered it himself. He understands all that you go through. He has been tempted in all ways, like as we are, as the apostle says in verse 15, yet without sin. Yeah. Thank God we have a high priest that can relate to us. He is not raised in some sheltered and secluded life. He was a man who has experienced life in the same way that you and I have experienced life. He understands what it's like to be rejected and hated.
Yeah.
He understands what it's like to be misunderstood. Where even your own family is against you.
Yeah.
You ever been there?
Yeah.
They looked at him and they said, are you crazy? Just, you know, why do you keep on preaching the way you preach? Why don't you show yourself in all your power and the miracles that you can do and gather a following? You, Jesus, you've got this blessing. You've got this talent. Why don't you make a buck from it?
Amen.
They had no idea what his purpose was. But he did. And his father did. John Foster, the writer, tells a story in one of his books. And this is going back into pre-World War II days, 30s and 40s. I don't remember the exact dates leading up to World War II. He comes into his home. And his little daughter is sitting there in front of the radio and she's listening to a news broadcast. And the news announcer said, Japanese tanks have entered Canton, a city in China. And she's sitting there and she's crying. And he thought about her weeping, though she wasn't there. She was weeping because she had been there. And though the news broadcaster can read this announcement in this sort of a professional, detached voice, his daughter weeps because when she thinks of Canton, she thinks of school and friends. She thinks of her nanny. She thinks of those that she loved. And she understands what it means now that Japanese tanks are there. That now there's death and violence and suffering. See, she understood because she was there. We always understand better when we have been there. And I know that sometimes when you come to Pastor Joe with problems and you have a burden, and there are many times where I don't understand. I haven't experienced your situation not only in the same way that you have, but sometimes not even close to what you've experienced. But Christ has.
Yeah. Amen.
And he didn't just dabble in it. He experienced it to the full. You have a compassionate high priest. And because we have a compassionate high priest, there's something that we can do. Look in verse 15. I'll look in verse 14, excuse me. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That is, we have a continued perseverance. Because we have a compassionate high priest, we can enjoy a continued perseverance. Now, this is real, folks, because listen, the temptation is to quit. The temptation is to turn back. The temptation is to think, is this real? Is the Bible true? Is there a God in heaven? Is Jesus his son? Is he born of the Virgin? Did he live a sinless life? Did he die on the cross for me? Did he rise again from the dead? Is all this true? And the world will come, and the Satan will come, and your own flesh will come and whisper into your ear, it's not true. You're being deluded. How can you explain this? How can you explain that? What about this finding? What about this book? What about this over here? And you're going to have 1,001 reasons to give up on the faith. And probably the greatest one will be this. You'll have this thought, because I've been there too. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't live this Christian life. I can't fight this sin. I can't live this way. I can't pursue holiness. I can't change what I have been. I can't quit this sin. I can't do this and I can't do that. And we're constantly tempted and deceived by ourselves to throw in the towel. You'll hear this in your own heart's thoughts, as I have. It's not worth it. All the pain and all the suffering and all the trials and all the aggravation of it, of being misunderstood, of being hated for what you believe, being shunned, of all the plethora of negativity that can come with trying to lead the Christian life. Now look, I understand, you come and you put in your time on Sunday morning, for which I'm grateful, but you know as well as I know, the world isn't upset when you come here for an hour on Sunday morning, but the problem is when you show up at work on Monday living for the Lord. The problem is when you're amongst your friends and your family and your neighbors and you're trying to live for Jesus. That's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where there is friction, because now people are seeing and wondering and asking, why? Why do you do that? Why do you live that way? And some of them, as many of you have experienced, will do all that they can to make you living your Christian life difficult. As difficult as they can. Listen, you've got somebody in the heavens who is standing before the very throne of God, and he is your high priest, and he understands. You think Jesus didn't go through that very thing? Yes, he has. Even more so than you. Don't forget the Savior's passion as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was faced with the will of his Father. And the will of his Father was that he would go all the way to the cross and that he would die on that cross and in that moment take upon him all of the guilt of all of his people. And in that moment, his humanity cried out against that. And I understand that a little bit. Amen. Because I wouldn't want to die that way. I wouldn't want to be crucified. I wouldn't want nails in my hands and my feet. Jesus knew what was coming. And it wasn't a quick death. And they were going to make him a spectacle. And his enemies would laugh at him, and his mother would see the whole thing. We don't like to be embarrassed in front of our loved ones. And he cried. And he wept. But he prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed in such a way. Now, I've never prayed like this. He prayed in such a way that he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Have you ever been faced with a choice and you knew what God would have you to do, and you were pressing into that choice, praying that God would help you and give you grace, and prayed in such a way that you began to sweat? The choice was there. But you prayed, God, I don't want this for me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And as he sweated, became mixed with blood. That is extreme agony. My brothers and my sisters, we have prayed, amen, but we have not prayed as the Savior has prayed. He prayed to such a degree that the angels had to come and minister to him, to revive him physically and refresh him spiritually. That's what they came and visited him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a man pouring out his soul before God in such a way? The angels must come like a boxer after a match. Refresh him and help him recover. Because the biggest fight was yet to come. Jesus was there. If Jesus can go on, my brothers and sisters, we can go on too. The temptations we face are nothing compared to his. The fight that you and I must fight, the battle that we must engage in, are minuscule compared to the ones that the Savior has. And I don't do that to diminish your pain. I do it to put it in perspective. And the perspective is this. You have a high priest in heaven. Praise for you, who has been there. And he is not only successful in his perseverance, but he will make you successful in your perseverance.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
So we have a compassionate high priest. Because of this, we have continued perseverance. But we also have confidence in prayer. Confident praying. Look in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The implication is you'll find grace to help in time of need because it's there. It's there. But oftentimes our faith is clouded by our sight, isn't it?
Yes.
Oftentimes the grace that is there is out of our reach because we just need to get up off of our self-pity and go to God and ask for it, and he will give it to us. But it's there. I don't know how many times, and some of you men, I think you can probably identify with this. I don't know how many times I've looked for something, and it's not there.
10 millimeter socket.
But then my wife comes and she says, well, there it is. How'd you do that? It's like, sometimes I think she was hiding it. It's right there. If it was a snake, it would have bit you, yeah. God's grace is there, folks. You can find it. You might need his help, but it's there. And when you go to God with this need that you have, what is that need that you have? You don't have to say it out loud, but bring it to the forefront of your mind even now. What great need do you have that God, only God can help you with? Bring that to his throne. And you will find grace to help in time of need. There is confidence in our praying because we know that Jesus is there. We've all been through this. We've all experienced this, I think, where you've prayed and you've wondered, is God hearing me? Is he up there? I feel like sometimes when I pray, it doesn't go beyond the ceiling. And perhaps not even up that far. I wonder if my prayers ever reach heaven. They do. I promise you they do. If you know Christ, they do. That is a solemn promise that God has given us. And now listen to me. Not only do you have the Son of God, your high priest, in heaven interceding for you, you have the Spirit of God within you praying with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got two in the Trinity who are assisting you to pray. And the third in the Trinity promising that he will hear you because you come in the name of his Son. It's a done deal, folks. There is confidence in prayer. And sometimes you just need to tell your feelings, as I have to tell mine. It doesn't matter how I feel right now, God hears me, even though I feel like he doesn't.
Amen.
He does. And then pray as I pray. Lord, I don't feel like you're near me. By faith, I believe you are. And would you make me to feel a little bit of that? Would you give me some nourishment for my own faith?
Yeah.
Would you do something in me and through me and with me so that I know, my feeble faith would know that you hear me? He's a compassionate high priest. He will help you. And you can be confident in your prayer. The Spirit of God is in you. The Son of God is for you. The Father is welcoming you. It is, listen, I'm almost done. Our problem is not that God won't hear us. Our problem is that we don't ask enough. That's the problem. What's the Bible say? You have not because you ask not. It's not because the prayer is weak. It's not because God has shut us out. The problem really is because we just don't ask as often as we should. So I encourage you this morning, child of God. You have a high priest. He understands. He understands in a way that nobody else understands. He has felt the full fury and strength of temptation. He understands doubt, rejection. He understands all of these things.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
And he will help you. Let us stand and pray.